Thanks for joining. This is Jaded, and I'm Jody. And, darn it, I had a quick comeback to the end of that song that was supposed to be very witty and totally blanked it. Have to forgive me or just accept that I smoke weed now that I'm not drinking, now that I'm not smoking cigarettes, now that I'm not buying scratch tickets. I'm definitely, my pot intake has increased. And I tend to say a lot. So, I'm going to work on that, but it's been a while. It's been, not that long, I guess, but for me it feels like forever. Definitely been a while. I think since I kind of sat and talked and given more background and insight into me, make it helpful to decide if, you know, even have any interest in who I am. And so, let's see. I should probably go back and listen to the one that I spoke about first. Can run you through real quick. I have four children. I have three boys and a girl. My ex-husband and I met when we were in sixth grade. We moved from Utah, where I don't ever recall seeing anybody that was not white. We moved to Colorado. My mom put me in the Spanish sixth grade class, which didn't mean I had to speak Spanish, but it meant that they were taking Spanish. And we were 6 months in. Like, that, I blame my mother. That was when my grades started to go down, I swear, sixth grade. All because of that damn Spanish class. But anyway, sixth grade, a lot of boys hit on me, a lot of Hispanic boys particularly. My ex, however, was not. He was not one of the ones that hit on me. He actually was not very nice to me. Jesus. It's weird to say out loud. But I remember sixth grade. So I get there. We moved here a week before my birthday. 2 weeks before my birthday. So beginning of November. And we had to live in a hotel for probably 2 weeks before our house was done, before it was ready. So we stayed at the Holiday Inn on 120th, and I was thrilled because there was a pool, hot tub, I swam every day. But unfortunately, I noticed the night before I was supposed to go to my new school for the first time that my hair was green. My blonde hair had gone green from the chloride. And my mom, we washed it. I think she had me rinse it in vinegar or something. I don't know. Nothing helped. So I had green hair when I went to school. And I got two nicknames, or a nickname that went two ways that day. They called me Skipper because I looked like Barbie's daughter. But Skipper could also mean, because of my green hair, like fish. Skipper. So, yeah, it depended on, I guess, who was saying it. But anyway, so sixth grade, outdoor education after sixth grade ended. We got to go up to the mountains with all of the sixth grades that were combining to go to seventh grade that next year. And that's when I met Marcos, and he just wanted to see. He's the one who started the Rosen Beef thing. My maiden name is Rosenloff, and Marcos began calling me Rosen Beef. By the time I was a senior, I was proud of it. They called me Beef, and I was good with that because, yeah, whatever. And I remember Carlos Martinez asked me if I wanted to dance at the dance at the end of Outdoor Ed. And as we went out to the dance floor, Marcos goes, "Oh, bro, I'm sorry. Did she ask you to dance?" And Carlos looks at me and goes, "No, man, I asked her." And just, like, shut Marcos up, which was awesome. But that was how Marcos and I met. We started going out when we were in eighth grade. I remember he asked me out during basketball. I was on the girls' basketball team, and he was, I don't know, a trainer, whatever it is, the assistant. So, yeah, I thought he was Michael Jordan back then. It was, God, that was a lifetime ago. But anyway, that's when I met Marcos. We went together, unfortunately, off and on, all throughout high school, kind of. And when I was 17 and a half, I think. Well, when I was 16, let me back up. So we started dating in eighth grade, broke up, got together sometime around ninth, and then the Gulf War was, of course, raging, whatever it was. I don't know if it was ever raging, but the Gulf War was in progress, and my dad was in the military. He was in the Navy, and he was in the reserves, but they called him to active duty and stationed him in the London Embassy. Apparently, there was an aptitude test that that all the servicemen had to take for assessments, and my father's ranked very, very well. So anyway, he was stationed at the London Embassy, and he was probably out there for about 3 months, which left me at home with my mother and my two brothers and my sister. Joanna and Jessica were already out of the house by then, I believe. I wasn't quite old enough to drive, but my mother and I would go back and forth all the time. I'm starting to get the impression I wasn't the happy kid I thought I was. maybe I'm the bitch. Boy. Anyway, so we would go back and forth all the time, and at one point she told me, "You know what, just take the car, go to Marcos's, just get out of my hair." And I was like, "Oh, are you serious?" But I don't have a license. She's like, "Just go." So that was how I began going down to see Marcos. My mother would give me the car, and I went. So around the time that I finally, like, gave my virginity to Marcos, I was 17 and a half. He was 17 and a half. He's a week younger than me. And, like, a week after we'd had sex, which, you know, after the first time, of course, he's pretty funny about that. anyway, he says to me, you know, Jody, I think we should talk, you know. I think that we should still see other people. And I was heartbroken, but, you know, I never let that show when that happened. So, of course, I just questioned, you know, well, what do you mean? And he explained that he wanted to see how things went with this Jennifer chick that he'd been seen. So apparently he was seen her when I gave my virginity to him, and I didn't know. So that was shortly following. So for a year after that, he and I were on again, off again, mostly probably just sex. And at one point I got pregnant, and I wasn't sure how he was going to take it when I told him, but I knew that he was still seeing Jennifer. And this was back in the days when you could do that. My friend Watchlin, we were at her house, and I was like, oh my God, can we use your voice message? It's not voicemail, whatever the hell it was. The tape, so you could get people's messages. Oh my gosh, I'm totally fumbling here. She had one of those, and so I used it. I got a blank tape, put the tape in there, and when I called Marcos, I hit record, and it recorded while we spoke. And I told Marcos that I was pregnant, that I was sure, that I checked. He says, is it mine? I said, yes. He's like, okay, so what are we gonna do? So I was totally shocked, you know, kind of a little happy, like, good, I'm glad this didn't have to be a fight. So then, of course, no follow-up, no, I don't hear from him, and I think I saw them at maybe school the next day. And I was furious. So at some point, I took the tape, the recording, put it in an envelope, and took it to his girlfriend Jennifer's house. Put it in her mailbox, addressed to her. So get this, that unfortunately that didn't go as well as I had hoped either, but he said that she called him, she was mad, she was upset, crying, told him to come see her, which he did. He said that she got in the car and she was crying. She popped this tape into his tape player. And he goes, and as soon as I heard your voice, he's like, I knew. And I'm like, what? I'm like, did she hear it? And he goes, yeah. He goes, she heard that. And I said, did she hear you say that the baby's yours? I left out that he'd been telling her it wasn't, because I believe I confronted her maybe in the hallway at school, and when she questioned Marcos, he denied it. So anyway, that was all good and lovely. Not so, and now I'm pregnant, 18. My parents are gonna kill me. I'm Mormon. I'm supposed to be fucking Mormon, and now I'm pregnant, and to boot, with my father at least. With a Mexican's baby. So, So I end up, of course, having to tell my mom. And I don't remember why I was in the back seat of the car. Maybe we'd given my friends ride home too or whatever, and I was still back there. But I remember telling her, scared out of my mind, like I had no idea what she was going to do. And I knew she was going to be disappointed. I was disappointed. And as soon as I said it, she goes, huh. So let me guess. You had to get knocked up by the guy that treats you like shit. You couldn't get knocked up by the guy that treats you good, right? Right? Is it Marcos's baby? So in my brain, I'd go, so what, this shit would be okay if it was Tony's? You know, like, that was my immediate thought. And then I was just, So she asked me what I was going to do. I told her I didn't know. That's why I was telling her I needed her help. She was my mom. I was 18. I was pregnant. I didn't know what to do. And she says, well, you do not have the right to take that baby's life. You don't get that choice. You will have this baby. You will find a home for unwed mothers where you can go, you can live and work until the baby's born, then you can give it up for adoption and you can come home. And my heart just fell through the floor. This woman who had been like a savior to me, my father was horrible to all of us. It was a horrible environment. I don't ever remember it being not tense
at least. And, like, if I couldn't count on her, my mom would step in a lot in the beginning until, of course, we got big enough to hold our own, I guess. Or when she just couldn't be there. My mom would get in between my father and us if he was hitting us. And that, it was a horrible feeling. It was a horrible feeling as a child to watch your mother get hit for you. It was very, very confusing. And but my mom did, and when I told her I was pregnant, and so I knew I couldn't stay here. I either had to go to a home for unwed mothers or basically get the fuck out. So my oldest sister Joanna lived in San Diego. I had helped her and her husband move out there the summer before. They moved there the summer of my senior year, and I got pregnant at the end of my senior year. So, got in touch with her, told her what had happened, told her what was going on. Could I come? And she's like, oh, absolutely. Just, you're welcome. Yes, come anytime. She had just had Samuel, my nephew. He was born at 20... Oh, forgive me, I cannot, I'll have to, 26 weeks, I think. He was born at 26 weeks. He was very, very premature. He had to stay in the hospital for about 3 months before he could come home. So me being there when he wasn't, she was able to get comfort in that, because it's hard not having your baby home with you. Especially, yeah, just after so much time, that was a long time, but he had to gain enough weight, and he had to be healthy enough, had to make sure his lungs were strong and that he was good to go. So, lost track of thought there. Samuel, so I moved out there. Sam was working, Joanna's husband was working, Joanna was not, and then they had baby Samuel. And then there was me, and I was pregnant, so I was getting, like, state benefits and food stamps and things like that, but I still could feel the strain that I put on, you know, their finances, their living situation, everything, just all of it. It was tight, and there were some, you know, arguments about money, and I loved being there. Joanna was great. She told me, Jody, whatever you want to do, this is your baby, your body. Whatever you want to do, we will support you. If you want to keep the baby, you can live with us. You know, we'll do what we can to help. You know, we can do this. She says, but if you want to do something else, she says, we'll support that too. So she let me think about it on my own. I knew I couldn't go home with the baby. I couldn't go back to Colorado. Like I said, California was great. It was beautiful. But I just didn't feel like I could do that to them. That moving out to California was awesome. And yeah. I hope my being there didn't cut it shorter for them than it would have. Their time there, that is. So, time goes on, summer goes on, I'm getting more and more pregnant, still haven't decided what I want to do, finally decide to call Marcos, reach out to him, told him where I was, that I didn't know what I was going to do, how did he feel, what did he want to do. And he said, well, why don't you just give the baby up for adoption? I'll sign the paperwork. Just send it to me. Man, I just kind of sat there. kind of sad there because that really... That wasn't what I wanted. It's weird. I wanted the baby, but I didn't want Marcos. but... So, left with that. I decided... You know, it wasn't... It wouldn't be fair of me to... to rob Kettner of a father in his life. If I decided to keep the baby, Marcos pretty much made it clear that he wasn't looking for that. It wasn't a good time for him. He can afford it, but different things like that, which all made sense. You know, we did struggle. But, I finally decided that, yeah, he should have the opportunity to grow up in a healthy home, in a good environment with a mom and a dad who, you know, if they are going through the adoption process, they really want a baby. And so anyway, I thought that that was the best choice. I got into the phone book, back when you still used those, got into the phone book, found an adoption attorney, went to his office, met with him, he explained the process, gave me, I think, 5 to 7 different pamphlets on applicants, the people that were looking to adopt, so... couples. There was one where it was just a woman. Said that they didn't approve of a lot of singles adopting. I don't remember the exception in this case, but probably not important. But I came across Colleen and Steve, and Colleen had a petting zoo. They had a very nice place in Santa Cruz, up in the hillside, a beautiful mountain-looking land. She had chickens, she had goats, she had all kinds of petting zoo animals. It was really awesome. They had a couple dogs, Banjo, Bongo, I can't remember, but beautiful dogs. I think they had a pig, too. They were great people. Steve worked for Xerox, I believe, and Colleen used to joke and call him Steve Weedy, and his name was Steve Reedy, and she said that he just looked kind of, I don't know, she would make fun of him, say he looked like a geek. And she was Colleen Monahan, so she had never taken his name. That'll be important later. But they had tried 6 times to get pregnant and have a baby. They got pregnant all 6 times. And all 6 times she miscarried. Never made it past 3 months. And, well, they didn't want to do that anymore. They wanted... And I was a little hesitant at first. They looked a little more L.L. Bean-ish than, you know, I... They looked happy, and they sounded great, and so I asked if I could meet them. They came down from Santa Cruz, took the train. They got off the train in San Diego, and the first street they saw was Kettner Boulevard. Kettner is the name of my oldest son. I'll get to that, but got off on Kettner Boulevard. My sister and I went to meet with them, and they were great. I loved them. They were warm, caring, funny, sincere. They were great, great people. Colleen joked at one point that she wished that they could adopt me. So I went ahead and signed the contract with them. They flew my sister and I up to Santa Cruz so we could come visit up there, see the house where Kettner was going to live. And it was good. They were great people. I couldn't have picked better. So at my sister's till, of course, baby comes, which Kettner came December 18th. On the way to the hospital, while I was in labor, I was thinking, should I tell her now that I can't do this? Do I tell my sister now that I can't do this? Well, the pain was enough to keep me occupied that I never did say anything, get to the hospital. Pretty quick, my labor was all about 3 hours. And after I delivered Kettner and was holding him, I just knew that I needed to be with this baby. And just as I turned my head to tell Joanna, my mom came walking in the door. She'd flown in from Colorado. And as soon as I saw her, I knew I wasn't going to say anything. So that night, they did let you stay a night back then. That night, the nurse asked me if I wanted to have the baby spend the night with me, since it would be our only night together. And I, yes, please. So Kettner slept with me that night. I didn't sleep. I stayed up the whole night watching him. It was amazing. I felt so connected to this tiny child. So the next morning when Colleen and Steve were there to take him, skipped a part. So Colleen and Steve asked me what I wanted to name him. And I told him, I said, you know, he's your son. What do you want to name him? And Colleen smiled and she looked at Steve and she says, we were thinking of naming him Kettner. And she explained to me about it being the first street sign that they saw when they met me. And I thought that was a great name. They weren't sure what last name they wanted to give him. They weren't sure if they were going to hyphenate their last names or give them Colleen's or Steve's. And so I said, well, I will just give him mine. And you guys can change it when you decide. So Kettner Rosenloff. Leaving the hospital with my mom, they push out in a wheelchair, which is fab. I was bawling uncontrollably. I hurt so much and I could not say anything. And I'm sure everybody thought, you know, that I was doing fine, because I'm sure that's normal, but I so was not doing fine. I could not go back to Joanna's house. Everything about being there reminded me of being pregnant, and I wasn't pregnant anymore. And baby wasn't with me anymore. So I stayed at the hotel with my mom while she was there, and then after my mom left, I went back to Joanna's. I only lasted a night. I said, I can't be here. It's beautiful and I want to stay, but everything reminds me of being pregnant. I can't. So I converted some train tickets that a friend had. She was going to come down to California to pick me up. She's going to take the train down and the two of us were going to ride it back. But I couldn't even wait for that. That was another week away and I just couldn't be there anymore. So I took the train back home. Parents are happy to see me. on the train ride home, they warned me that my milk would probably come in. And so they had given me, you know, the nursing pads that you put in the bra, and they didn't tell me how swollen they were going to get and how much they were going to hurt. And all it made me do was miss my baby so much more. Oh, that was a really tough time for me. So I come home. Gonna get signed up for school. My dad kept me on the insurance because I was gonna go take some classes over at Arapahoe Community. And I was terribly depressed. I couldn't do much. And one day Marcos called, and Jennifer had finally dumped him, and he wanted to see if we could talk. Sorry about that. Just lost train of thought. So I go down to his house. I don't know if it was that time or the next time he asked me to come down. Of course, we're back having sex. You know, I'm sad and alone and, well, it's one way to not be alone, right? Plus, felt good. I was happy, at least I thought, you know? And I would cry occasionally, and one time Marcos just asked me, he's like, "Babe, why are you crying?" I said, "My heart is so empty without my baby. I feel it every day." I went on to tell him about how difficult it had been for me, and he says, "Jody, if you want to get our son back, I will support you 100%. And that was all that I wanted to hear. That's all I wanted. I don't know. That was all I needed to hear. I got a green... I'm going to go get my baby back. So I contacted Department of Human Services, who had been sending me the paperwork for the adoption, and it wasn't due yet, but I hadn't signed it. And when I contacted her, she says, "Well, I don't show that we ever got your paperwork." And I said, "No, I haven't signed it." And she's like, "Oh, well, then you should just be able to have, you know, then it's not legal. You can get your son back." And I was like, "What, really? That's it? Like, no." And she goes, "Well, the state of California, the birth mother has up to 6 months to change her mind. And that's even when they do sign the paperwork." So she says, "You know, this, so when I called Colleen and Steve, actually, I did that in the wrong order. I called Colleen and Steve first, and I told Colleen that I had changed my mind and that I needed to get my baby back. And she just was stunned. She just said, "Jody, this doesn't sound like you. Are you okay? What's going on? You know, have you been drinking or doing drugs?" I'm like, no, look, I've been miserable since the day I walked out of that hospital. I've got a hole in my heart and in my body that I need my son. I'm sorry. I wanted to do this." So she said, no, I don't believe you, Jody. I think something's wrong with you. I think maybe somebody's forcing you to say this. But no, you can't have him back." So then I called Department of Human Services, and she was great. Unfortunately, she did end up losing her job over my case, apparently. She was very helpful. I told her that they weren't letting me have my son back. She told me what paperwork I needed to file with the courts to make that happen. And then she even helped me get a court date. She filed the paperwork for me, which was great. I don't know if it was her helping. I don't know. Maybe Cleaning Steve got really mad and threatened the right people. I don't know. But she lost her job, but she was great. Ms. Hutcherson. It wasn't until June. They set court for June. I let her know in February that I wanted him back. 2 months, 8 weeks. It was a very long 8 weeks. It was even longer waiting until June to go get him. Marcos and I drove out with his brother, who was living in Long Beach at the time. We drove out there, stayed with his aunt and uncle and family, great, great people, Emma, and they drove us to the courthouse in Santa Cruz the next day, but it was, I think it was like a 2.5 hour drive. Well, we were late, 15, 20 minutes, maybe. Not good. Finally get into the courtroom, and the judge sees me and says, "Miss Rosenloff?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "You, what did he say?" He says, it's lucky that the law is so much in your favor in this case. Otherwise, I may have refused to hear it." Then he goes on to say, "I've looked at the evidence in this case. And though I may have doubts of my own regarding the, how did he say it? The, basically, the type of mother that I would be, you know, despite any questions you might have about that, how I'm gonna just question whether or not I could raise my son and do it well, I guess, and he says, though, even if there were concerns, he says, it doesn't matter. The state of California's law is clear. A birth mother has up to 6 months to change her mind in an adoption. Period. That's the law. That's how it reads. That's how there is nothing. And Colleen and Steve were devastated. I could hear Colleen break on the other side of the courtroom. She's a wonderful woman, and I did not set out to hurt either one of them, and I'm so sorry that I did. So the social worker, the lady that got fired, I asked her how we were supposed to get Kettner back now that he was ours. And she said that she would meet us at Colleen and Steve so that she could be like a mediator. So she did. It was horrible. Colleen was crying and pleading with me the whole time while she was gathering his bottles and his, she had made like 10 bottles for him because she knew we were driving. It was very, very sweet of her, but she was crying and saying, "Jody, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" And I cried and I said back, I said, "Because I can't do anything else. I have to be near him. I have to have him. He's a part of me." So Marcos had to ride in the back of the truck all the way back to the aunties because we had the car seat and me and Fernando in the truck. And it was a very nice sacrifice of his father to make. Kettner was a very good baby, very well behaved, very happy, content. He was my smiliest baby. And I remember that night, first night sleeping with my baby, he was laying between Marcos and I on the bed. And I had fallen asleep. In the middle of the night, I woke up and I turned to check on him. And he was looking right at me.
looking. And when he saw me looking at him, he smiled. And in my heart, I knew it was the right thing. Oh. So, Marcos and I brought a baby home, and my parents found out and kicked me out of the house pretty much, kind of disowned me. At this point, my sister Joanna had moved back to Colorado, and she was furious with me. She was furious with me for taking my son back. So, Joanna, my mother, and my father packed all of my stuff at their house, at my mom's house, my parents' house, into trash bags, brought it down to Marcos's house, threw it on the front lawn. Joanna was knocking so hard on the front door that she broke the glass. I mean, vandalizing Marcos's parents' home because they were angry with me. Not so, anyway. So, that happens. Marcos's parents let me know it's fine that Kettner and I can stay there and we're welcome. And they very much did make us feel welcome. And I will always appreciate their hospitality. Elva was so good to me. A couple of weeks after we'd brought Kettner home, we were outside barbecuing, I think, and I was watching the cousins in the street, and a guy walked up to me and handed me a letter and served me. Colleen and Steve were bringing the court case to Colorado. They were going to come fight for Kettner here. Marcos and I did not know what to do. Elva had us talk to her attorney, who did more, like, disability cases, but he agreed to take ours and charge us a lower rate. We went to court the first time. The case was before a magistrate, and Marcos and I showed up with his mom and his Auntie Behenia, and Colleen and Steve showed up with my mom, my dad, two of my sisters. So, the case went to the magistrate. The magistrate heard both sides, and he said, you know what? This is a California case. California has already ruled. This is lack of jurisdiction. No, I'm throwing it out. So we were pretty relieved, but then a couple weeks later, we got served again. They were bringing the case before a judge. They wanted a judge to look at the magistrate's ruling and decide if it was fair. So, go to that court appearance. Oh, you know what? We didn't have to. The only court appearance we went to was that first one that was very awkward, seeing my family on the other side. But the second one, the judge reviewed it in his chambers or wherever, but we got in the mail the judge's decision that he was going to uphold the magistrate's case, that it was lack of jurisdiction. California case, California ruled, done. So Colleen and Steve served us a final time, taking us to the Court of Appeals. Kettner was about an $18,000 baby when I was 19. But he was worth it, every penny. And, so after all the court cases were over and Colleen and Steve knew, I didn't finish, sorry, went to the Court of Appeals. Court of Appeals came back and they agreed as well. Lack of jurisdiction, throw it out. So at that point, now it's finally dead. They can't take us to any more courts. Kettner's ours, they, like, done. Colleen calls me and asks if she can come and see Kettner one more time. I just said yes. Why wouldn't I? I know she loves him, and I'm so sorry that I hurt
that I hurt both of them. So, I called my mom and asked if it would be all right if Colleen and I met at her house, at neutral ground, whatever. My mom's house is nice and clean, and well, that way my mom could see Kettner too, because they'd kind of disowned me back in June, and by now we're talking, it's about December, so 6 months. So, show up at my mom's, Colleen is there. She lights up as soon as she sees Kettner, who is now walking. God, he's cute as a baby. He's walking. She lights up. He looks at her and turns around and looks at me and looks back at her, and I see her face just fall. She tries talking to him, Keddy, Keddy. They used to call him Keddy. We never called him Keddy. He was always Kettner. He didn't respond to Keddy. She was a little heartbroken. It was very hard to see, but I know that she needed it. And I hope it helped her see that he was very well adapted to where he is, very comfortable, very loved. That was the last I saw of Colleen. Last I heard of her. After Colleen left, my mom sat down with me and said, you know, Jody, I do not agree with what you've done. I don't think this is the best thing for you or Kettner, but if he is going to be a part of your life, I would like him to be a part of mine. Would that be okay? So that was where my mother and I made some of the amends that I feel were needed after her letting me down. So just to recap, piece of me, part of me, little piece of the jaded puzzle. Appreciate you listening. Have a good night.